forever. Dog.
Comic books, comic time. Writers and artists are on the line. They make a splash as a comic's read and take us on a trip behind the spread. Watch out for comic book commentary. Spinning a winning inside fix, how they got a hot idea. Narrative, character, visual tricks, and onomatopoeia. Uh-huh, it's comic book commentary.
Hey everybody, my name is Jeremy Lambert.
And I'm Gerard Way.
And we're here to talk about Doom Patrol, Weight of the Worlds, Issue 4.
That's right.
Yeah, for DC's Young Animal.
We're going to walk you through it. Go through it. You want to start with the cover?
Yeah, I guess let's do it.
Yeah. So we got Gerard Way, Jeremy Lambert, Nick Patara, Tamara Von Vlin. Mm-hmm. You know, no letterer, though. That's always my thing is, why can't we get the letterers on the cover? But maybe one day.
Yeah, and that would be Simon Boland.
Yes.
Is our letterer.
And then, you know, we have this amazing cover by Nick Darrington, who was the interior artist on the first two arcs. And, you know, we there was a little bit of back and forth about all this extra text on the cover. He really wanted it to look like an old fitness magazine. He obviously pretty much nailed that. And then a little back and forth, but some of these really interesting ones, I think, come from Nick. Like, well, we'll go through them. It's like Flex, I Love Mondays, Follicle Flavor, Muscle Mr. He, Pump Up the Memes, Why. I think that was Nick.
Yeah.
Athletic Aesthetic, Headbands Keep the Brains In. I think it was a collaborative.
And yeah.
Heavy Mentallo, Gear of the Beach, Stare into the Abyss. This was all Nick. Nail of Gothic Lemons, Post Chicken, JPEG to the Head.
Yeah, the JPEG to the Head is brutal.
Yeah. So we got a very nice cover, and it features Flex and Rita.
Yeah.
And we're going to open the cover and we're going to get into it.
Yes, indeed. I mean, before we get into it, do you want to dive into... Did you have any... Because I just remember walking into the office one day at the studio here, and you said... You had the one-liner. You had Destiny Beach.
Yeah, I had been saying the words Destiny Beach for the longest time. I was like, I know what issue. I know it's called Destiny Beach, and I know it's about a beach where Flex used to work out. And I always had that idea, even before Jeremy came on board. I was like, there's always going to be a Destiny Beach issue, episode. And when we talked about doing Arc 3 more like episodic, where you could enjoy each one of them, Destiny Beach was always one of those episodes. So we finally get to figure out, Jeremy and I, what Destiny Beach actually is. And Jeremy, you handled a lot of this first page.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically just an introduction to, because we wanted to start off sort of in media res, just really get it going quickly, which has kind of been the case with all of the Weight of the Worlds issues, really just jump into the story as soon as possible.
Yes.
Which you had said and encouraged from the start. So really I just took that and ran with it, but just trying to establish everything as it was in its heyday.
Right.
And that was the genesis of this, and sort of like Flex's memory and what Destiny Beach was and meant to him. And that's sort of followed by the captions that we have too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We both did some tweaking on what the panels would show and things like that. And then, we get Flex here. Nick Patara, the artist, actually did a lot, he added a lot to the script. He did changes. He moved panels around. Sometimes he would make certain panels bigger. Like, this page was pretty much all Nick's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little different in the script than this. I can't remember what we originally had, but...
We had... I'm pretty sure it was honestly... We had a splash for this one initially. Mm-hmm. But he took that and was able to just... I think especially in the first panel, you get a lot of the detritus and trash that's on the beach.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, too far gone at this point. And then he has this wonderful... It's one of like the greatest establishing panels that I've seen.
Yeah,
with a title and all of the credits, of course. But it's also so enmeshed in the world.
Yeah,
that it just makes so much sense.
Yeah, and you know, Nick, this is the first time either of us have worked with Nick, and you could tell he was having so much fun with it. And he would tell us over and over how much fun he had with the script, and that's really awesome when you get everybody gelling together really well on that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's interesting too, because I think there's one point just in everybody's get up, we were just brainstorming at some point over here in the studio and came up with the idea that, well, if Flex is telling everybody about Destiny Beach, everybody's going to get damn ready for a day at the beach. Patrol day at the beach.
Yeah, because he's hyping this place
because
up to
them.
Because
he's hyping Destiny
Beach.
He's
like, oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And then yeah. Somebody gets their beach gear on. They're going to have a day at the beach. And then they get there and it's all messed up.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Which would explain, you know, Fug with all, and Larry too, as Positive Man with his floaties.
Yeah. And Nick put a lot of work into their beach looks.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And the color is insane. I mean, I love.
Yeah. Tamara's colors are.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Amazing. And I love how muted it is when you're in the current beach, which has really lost its luster and it's all screwed up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So then we get to this next page. We start to get things moving. I love his flat page. What would this be? Three, panel one. Like, he's got his hands in the soda pop plastic container things, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
Cigarette butts. Just gnarly.
Yeah.
You know.
All the things you've seen at the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then they would. Oh, yeah. We talk about Cliff here on the second panel. Like, wish Cliff were here for this, Casey says. And then Larry says, yeah, why did he stay behind with Mento? Said he needed. Then Lucius says, to work on something. And then Rita's like, more like working on getting upgrades for that new body Keeg built him.
Yeah.
Cliff has been detached. So the thing about Cliff is, if you've read the first three issues up to this point, it's been really hard for Cliff, but then ever since he got back in his robot body, he's kind of started to really, like, detach, and he hasn't been depressed or anything, but he's been, like, really focused on these upgrades, and that's kind of, like, the big thing running in the background through Weight of the Worlds, is what's going on with Cliff, and it kind of comes to a head at the end of the series, but, so that was important for us to get in there about Cliff and his upgrades, and then we get to see those on the next page. We get to see Cliff doing his thing in Dannyland.
Yeah, which is especially coming off of, it was issue 2 that had the Dannyland map.
Yes.
So having described all of those different locations, even just giving that to, you know, an artist like Nick, who can then, you know, take all of that and run with it. Even just a simple, like in panel one, this shot is one of the most detailed sort of close-ups of Dannyland that we've seen.
Yeah.
And it's just a simple reveal. Like, it's an over-the-shoulder of you know, a character talking to Cliff. But it has a lot of character, too, because of that.
And, you know, like, Cliff on this page, like, he seems like just, like, psyched and, like, that it was no big deal that he was human and ended up in a robot body. But, I think he's kind of in shock. I think he's just like, oh, I'm a robot again and this makes sense to me, you know? And he's getting these upgrades and he's really excited about those.
Yeah.
And then we get Mento in his bathrobe, and because Mento was introduced the previous issue. So that's a little check-in with Cliff, and then we get to the next page.
Yeah.
We're back at the beach.
Back at the beach. The ruined boardwalk.
Yes.
Which honestly was, this was something that you had as well, because I think we were just fleshing out this page and you had very quickly said, there's a hot dog cart.
Yes.
And there's a guy that hasn't been selling hot dogs in a very long time.
Yes.
Named Chet.
And we should mention too that Nick Patera, the artist, he laid out the whole geography of Destiny Beach.
Of the boardwalk, the beach. We had thrown a lot of different things at him. Like, we had mentioned that there was probably a Ferris wheel that was half buried in the water.
Yeah.
There was all sorts of different, he has a massive H that's crushed, like fallen down from, you know, Destiny Beach, almost like a Hollywood sign.
Right, right.
And it's fallen down into the boardwalk and crushed a lot of things. But the decay and, like, the slow death of what Destiny Beach, you know, means and meant to a bunch of people is sort of, coming across in all those different ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, we like to move things quick when Jeremy and I are writing. The way we write is we sit in the same office and we're working on a live document together. And we're communicating verbally, but we're also just working right on the page. And because we're working together in a tight space like that, like it allows us to write these scripts rather quickly sometimes. And it's a very stream of consciousness. There's not a lot of overthinking. Obviously, we want everything to make sense, and that's what Andy Curry, the editor, is there to help with. You know, we just try to have as much fun as possible and just really make it like a stream of consciousness. So, the hot dog guy was just somebody that came up, and I was like, we're just going to deal with hot dogs. Yeah. And this crazy guy that used to sell them, and we get to Flex. Saying it's Jupiter's gym, and then you see his old crew.
Yeah, which was a whole, I mean, because it's basically you're fleshing out another world where Flex spent a great deal of time in this place. He has a crew. He has, you know, basically allies before the Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
In a way. So there was a lot of thought that went into both what this crew looks like and who these people are.
Yeah.
And that's interesting too, because in the script as well, it's a bit unorthodox, I suppose, in a way, because we include a lot of references and pictures within the script and embed them in there. So this page, just as for reference, is amazing, because I think there's probably 6 photographs of bodybuilders in the script
doing various different
poses.
Yeah,
which we sent to Nick just to give him some ideas about what might be going on.
And we should probably mention that Jupiter's Gym is based on Muscle Beach, the actual Muscle Beach in Santa Monica.
Venice Beach.
Where people have been working out, pumping iron for years.
Yeah.
And you could just go and watch them doing it. So this is basically that type of scenario.
Right.
Right on. And then, which page is this?
Let's see.
7. You get this great, like, montage.
Yeah.
Of Flex walking through Jupiter's Gym, talking to his old crew, saying hello. And you get a little bit of their personality, each one of them, as he walks through and says hello to them. And it's a really beautiful page.
It is. Yeah. And it's one of those pages that I think is, it seems a bit busy at first, but honestly is just one of those things where you get so much information in such a simple move and flow to the page.
Yeah.
Like there's just, you know, there's so much detail and there's so much, I mean, there's so much attention paid if you just look in all of the different nooks and crannies here of, you know, lovely touches of whey protein, eggs, magazines, banana peels that are in trash cans.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, there's so much to see, and he really did a wonderful job.
So then we get to the next page where, you know, everybody's really excited. He's got his crew there, but Babyface Bernardo has an issue with Flex, and he tells him that his issue is that Flex has abandoned them to defend the honor of the beach, but they keep losing, and they don't have Flex. And Rita gets involved. You know, Rita and Flex in this series become kind of close friends. And they've been working out together. Flex has been trying to teach her how to gain control of her body through fitness. And, you know, so Rita defends him against Babyface Bernardo. And then Marvelous Marvin gives us a little backstory about what's been going on since Flex has been gone. And apparently Skarg and his crew showed up. We haven't won a Flex off since. And they talk about what happened to the food and what they do for food now, which is they eat these things wandering the beach called Protusks. And that's how they get their protein. You came up with the name Protusks, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
But I definitely wanted them, like, overcoming these mammoth-type fleshy beasts and eating them.
Yeah.
In order to get all their protein. Then we have an ad.
Which looks like a comic.
Yeah.
Oh, Skarg.
We get to finally see Skarg on the next page.
Which is crazy. I mean, I don't even know if we gave a good bit of description for Skarg, but really Nick made Skarg his own
in
the best way possible.
I think.
Yeah.
I think the tiniest bit of reference I gave him was Ranxorox.
Right.
From the old heavy metal magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like an alien Ranxorox with goggled eyes and like stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then, but
muscles where humans don't.
Muscles where humans don't have them. Yeah. Yeah. And then Nick really just came up with this guy, Skarg, and his whole crew. We didn't give any, you know, our scripts are really pretty, I get especially pretty detailed in scripts, but I didn't get very detailed about his crew, and Nick just kind of went off with his crew and just came up with all these characters. And the way, you know, when I was writing Skarg, like his way of speech was like, it just came kind of really natural to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is, but he was just easy to write, and I wanted some of what he was saying to feel like slang and also like alien language. So he was, but it was, you know, I had to come up with how he spoke, and then we get to see the secret spandex. Well, first we get Lucius saying he senses a powerful magic at work,
yeah,
which is good. And then Flex realizes, oh, Skarg is wearing the secret spandex. So then we get into that on the next page. What is the secret spandex? And the secret spandex was something I had always had in my head. You know, I often thought about Grant's Flex Mentallo series and how he used them in the Doom Patrol. And I always thought about maybe these other adventures that he had and other objects that he came in contact with. And one of them was the secret spandex. And I thought there was this black spandex that would attach itself to you very much like Venom. Is to Spider-Man.
and
that was part of the joke, you know. So on this next page, we get a really cool panel that looks like the cover of the Secret Wars where Spider-Man gets his black costume.
Yeah. Which is, it's so funny too, because it's just like, I'm always wondering who the people are in the background.
Yep, those are various. One of those guys looks like he has a diamond for a head.
Yep.
Which is interesting. Someone's on some sort of sled. It's cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, because Flex, you know, he did have all these adventures. And especially detailed in his miniseries that Grant wrote and Frank quietly drew. So then we're building up to like a face-off, basically.
Yeah.
That's what it's kind of coming to. We check in with Cliff again. He gets rid of somebody's near bursting appendix, tosses it over to Mento, gets his space booster upgrades.
Yep.
Which is very important for this point, is that he got his space boosters, because he's about ready to take off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to the flex off.
Yep.
So then we got members of Skarg's crew going up against Flex's crew. And we got Babyface Bernardo first. And, you know, reference-wise for this script, we had to look up various different muscle groupings.
Yeah.
You know, to write Doom Patrol, I bought Arnold Schwarzenegger's big fitness manual.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which I rarely cracked open, but I bought it.
So
I could know what I was talking about with Flex, you know? And it rarely came up.
Yeah.
You know, when Flex flexed in the first two arcs, he just flexed. I didn't have to get into it. But just in case I did want to get into it, I had this huge tome written by Arnold Schwarzenegger to help me through it.
But who better?
This was something where we looked up, what is a leg muscle that could cramp?
Yeah, right.
Which is what happens.
Which would be debilitating.
Yeah.
And here we go with Ricardo.
And because I cannot get rid of any characters, I like to say that through the entire process of writing Doom Patrol, I had a post-it note on my computer that had every single character I had to manage for Doom Patrol. And that was there for years. And every time I wrote an issue, I had to reference it. And say, oh, what about this character, you know?
Yeah.
And the only character that got killed off in the first two arcs was Ricardo. And we just brought him back. So
it's funny with that post-it note, because actually I think you gave that to me on my first day.
You
slapped it down on my journal, and it was just like, this is it.
These are the characters. Good luck. Good luck managing this circus.
And I still have that. That's in my Doom Patrol notebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that is funny how it kind of comes full circle with Ricardo, because one of the things that when I came in with Milk Wars, Ricardo and Fug always had this connection. They just seemed like they were, you know, always connected in some way and always together. Mm-hmm. And there were all these sort of subtle, you know, bits and pieces here and there, especially in volume two, Nada, where, you know, Fug would be wearing Ricardo's visor.
Like, yeah.
He has his visor now. And vice versa, and like that sort of thing. So it's just like these little hints to their relationship. So it's always fun to, I think it's what, panel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So panel 6 here on this page is the exchanging of the hats again. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just this nice moment between the two.
You were very interested in that. You were big on the relationship between Fug and Ricardo and
yeah.
the visor and the hats and all that stuff. And
yeah.
Obviously, Ricardo's reemergence is inspired by Gandalf's reemergence in Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. when he reappeared as Gandalf the White, which is why Ricardo is wearing a white suit and a white hat. And he's this enlightened cabana man now.
The cabana man.
Yeah.
You can do a whole book on the cabana man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So then Cliff's like, next page, Cliff's like, I'm going to take off.
Yeah. That's it. He's got the boosters.
I've done all I can. Mento's like, this place looks like a dump. Why don't you help? He's like, nope. They're on vacation. I got a universe to save.
Yeah. Bigger and better things.
And we get a wonderful splash page.
Yeah.
Here comes Cliff Fix It. And then he's going to fix the universe. Think of it back to the Flex Off, where it's Skarg versus Flex.
Yep. Rippling muscles abound.
Yeah. And even with Flex's hero halo and how powerful of a flexer he is,
yeah,
Skarg just has the upper hand because he's got the secret spandex.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Right. And that's the secret spandex, and it sort of comes into play later on, but is basically attracted to, you know, the most powerful being on Destiny Beach.
Yes.
After proving oneself, that sort of thing. So it's almost like this weird dark trophy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
Flex gets fwumped.
Yep. Skarg wins, and then Babyface Bernardo was technically disqualified because of his injury. So then Rita steps up and she's like, I'm gonna do this. And then Rita proceeds to do something completely amazing.
Yeah.
Which Nick drew insanely of her flexing her body in the most insane way I've ever seen. With muscles upon muscles and veins upon veins.
Yeah.
And just does the ultimate pose.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and she does it.
It's, yeah, I mean, that was incredible. When that page came in, I think we were both losing it, because it's just, it's on such a scale that I don't think even we had planned for.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the Sands choose. Rita's the winner. She saves the beach, but then the secret spandex jumps off of Skarg.
Yeah.
Heads towards Flex. Hits him right in the crotch.
Oh, of course it does.
Yep. Consuming my leopard trunks. I've got to get those off of you, Flex. But they can't.
Nope.
They cannot get the secret spandex off Flex. So Flex decides, secret spandex too strong, must take it far away and use the positive energy, which Larry just shot him with.
Right.
To flex myself into outer space where it can do no harm. And he just takes off into outer space.
In order to save everybody else.
From the secret
spandex. From the secret spandex.
Yep.
because he would turn into, you know, who knows what. Yep. But yeah, he jets off.
He would become, as he said earlier, the Anti-Flex.
Yep.
And you don't want to hang out with the Anti-Flex.
No one does.
So then they restored the beauty to Destiny Beach. We get this really interesting gag where you get to kind of see Skarg's private parts, but it's covered up by the balloon.
Yep.
But we were very explicit in the script about Skarg's private parts because we thought we could get away with showing them.
We failed.
So,
but we did what we could.
We did our best.
They were drawn.
You know, I don't know. Yeah, I figured if they were alien sex organs that it would be okay. Yeah. But I guess it still may be a problem.
Yeah.
So
we got a rainbow leading to Skarg's butt. So, I mean, yeah. You know, small victories.
You take your wins where you can. Then we get a great page of Flex flexing in outer space. And it says Hero of the Void, which Jeremy came up with.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny, too, because I was just like, you know, having somebody in limbo, especially like Flex, literally flexing to keep himself alive in outer space.
Yep.
That it just made sense to me that it would also mess with his hero halo.
Yep.
So having it be Hero of the Void just sort of switched things over a bit. Yeah.
You know, and is this the last we'll see of Flex? I doubt it.
Yeah.
We've got 3 more issues in this run.
Yep.
I think we might see Flex again.
It's possible.
And then we end on a page of Cliff arriving to a new planet where it is really fucked up.
Yeah.
And people are just in bad shape, and the, what do they say? The crops are dead. The mop bugs world devours.
Oh, yeah, the mop bugs.
Mop bugs. The overlords kill us for sport. We have no hope. And he's like, wow, this place is screwed up. Perfect.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to totally help these people.
It's a fixer-upper.
It's a fixer-upper. The ultimate fixer-upper.
The ultimate fixer-upper.
For Cliff. And we'll have to see what Cliff does on this new planet in the next issue.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And there it is, Destiny Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean,
it was super fun to write.
Oh, this is such a joy to write. This issue especially. I mean, because it's just, you know, it's so much more in a lot of ways, but Vacation Gone Wrong is, especially given, you know, the Doom Patrol team.
Yes.
It provides so many different opportunities, especially for to look into Flex's past.
Yes. That was one of the most exciting things for me as a fan of Grant's, as a disciple of Grant's, to be able to go in and say, hey, I think maybe Flex had these other adventures and be able to conceptualize those and have fun with those and say, yeah, there was the secret spandex and, you know, just kind of brainstorm what Flex, and I don't even think I've scratched the surface on the adventures that Flex has had. I think,
oh, for sure.
I think he's due for another miniseries.
Oh, I think so.
You know,
no question.
And I think Nick Patera might be the person to draw him. So,
I mean, there's circling back to what we've talked about, I think, a lot in our approach to Doom Patrol Way to the Worlds, and something that started with you was the element of positivity and sort of wholesomeness, which I think is Flex represents so much of.
Yeah, and you're great at writing Flex. That was one of my favorite things about when we started working together, was how you wrote Flex. This kind of really pure individual, and you really kind of got Flex really well. But yeah, each issue to us of this run was trying to figure out how much positive energy we can stick into each issue.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it really worked. And I know it was fulfilling to write, and it's fulfilling to read, and it's nice to look back on all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, thank you everybody so much for listening.
Yeah, seriously. Thank you so much. And don't forget to tune in next time for Doom Patrol Way to the Worlds issue 5.
Issue 5. That is correct.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. and mastered by Anna Rubinova. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.